I can't see a board. I have a point.
Gentlemen.
Peter. Legislator Maloney, if you'd have a seat, please. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the Economic Development, Tourism, Housing, Planning, and Transit Committee meeting agenda. We're in chambers this evening of the county building. Today is January the 31st. The time is now approximately 6 p.m. Mary, would you call roll, please?
Legislator Archer?
Here.
Legislator DeLon?
Here.
Legislator Lips?
Here.
Legislator Mayo?
Here.
Legislator Rodriguez?
Present.
Legislator Waltman?
Here.
Chairman Maloney?
Here. Everyone was transmitted electronically our minutes from December 5th and December 12th. Are there any additions, deletions, or corrections to the minutes as presented? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Legislator Rodriguez, Legislator Mayo, and Litz. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously. Moving on, we have on our agenda tonight Suzanne Holt, the Director of the Office of Business Services, Office of Economic Development update. Suzanne? Suzanne, do me a favor, just sit down for 1 second. Thank you. See, approaching early middle age, you get forgetful already.
I don't forget.
I would like to take, resolution number 9 out of order.
So moved.
Okay, resolution authorizing the chairman of the legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Department of Transportation to accept New York State funds for the Elster and Dutchess County Transit Service Link Department of Public Transportation.
Correction, Mr. Chair. Resolution 43, item number 9. There's a letter to couple there.
Thank you for that correction, legislator.
Move for discussion.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Anything to add?
Mr. Chairman, this is one of our most successful programs, this and the loop bus, and we need fools not to move it, so I'd like to call the question.
Sir, and move, but thank you for your comment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously. Suzanne, floor is yours.
Would you like
me to use the mic, or would you like to speak?
Please.
Okay, sure.
You
want to
give me that?
I can hear you.
No.
I was going to say, could you use the mic for the recorder?
Can I?
Yeah, just pull right out.
Okay, now can everyone hear me? Excellent.
Yes.
Hi, I'm sorry for my back. My name is Suzanne Holt. I am the director of the Ulster County Office of Economic Development. I come before this committee at least every 3 months to update you on the work of the Office of Economic Development. I'm here tonight because you're a new committee and at least one, if not more, new members. And so I wanted to make sure you know what we're doing and how we're here to help you, your constituents, and your businesses. The Office of Economic Development, we are a small but efficient and streamlined team. I'm the director, and I've been with the county executive for 9 years. Tim Wiedemann is on the team. He is beginning his second year. Tim's here. He's had his own economic development consulting company. He was an entrepreneur. He's an expert on land use and planning, as well as business counseling. Tim is very active in Kingston, and he's also our representative to the and works with the Economic Development Alliance. Evelyn Heinbeck has been with the office for about 6 months. She traveled the world with Deloitte, helping businesses all over the world, and decided that she wanted to bring those skills to Ulster County and her home. She lives in New Paltz, and so she's been in a role. She's helping a lot of our businesses. She's actually at a conference right now, New York State EDC. But she helps a lot of small businesses, and she also helps with the IDA. And then Bernadette Andreessen is our administrative assistant. She has a background in working for law firms, doing title searches, and has an amazing attention to detail. So I just wanted to make sure that you know who the team is. We also work very closely. We're part of the planning department, work with the planning department, as well as tourism, the Office of Employment and Training. And we work very closely with the SBDC, with SUNY Ulster, SUNY New Paltz, and then ESD, and a lot of the state agencies. so we're very tuned in. The sheriff gave me a look. I came with about 20 minutes worth of stuff, and he asked for five.
No, that's okay.
I am going to zip through this. I just wanted to tell you, in 2017, we ran some numbers. We helped 340 different businesses and nonprofits, either ultra-heavy businesses or ones that were thinking about locating or relocating to Ulster County. And those are individual businesses or nonprofits. Today, just to give you a sense, started the day at 8:30 in the morning with an apple farmer in Milton. We had meetings with rail explorers. They're going to be up in Phoenicia on the rail, having an athletic adventure that they're going to be planning on hiring 30 full and part-time people. And they're at the planning board tonight, and they are expecting to start operations in May. We also met with a new spa in Woodstock. We met with a nonprofit educator called Go Beyond Greatness. Talked to a new restaurateur in Ellenville, a company that wants to shoot on a UCAP bus, and a bed and breakfast. There's a yoga company in New York City that they do, 900 different people do yoga at their studios in New York City. They want to buy a bed and breakfast and yoga retreat in Ellenville. So, and this was all just between Tim and myself today, and everyone's at a conference. So, just wanted to give you a sense of that. A few of our major accomplishments last year with the CFAs, we worked with dozens of businesses, nonprofits, and municipalities to bring home millions and millions of dollars to Ulster County. We hosted two grant writing workshops. We helped our businesses with their grant applications, and then I represent the county executive on the Mid-Hudson Regional Economic Development Council to fight behind closed doors to bring the money home. So we help at every step of the way. We're also integral with the City of Kingston getting $10 million for the DRI, help with the application, with the presentation, with the advocacy, and now with implementation to make sure that that money is put to the best use for the City of Kingston. Just quickly with the IDA, I think the thing that's so amazing is how much we do for businesses all over the county. Just looking at some of the projects in the last year, the town of Shongum, Asofist, Shandaken, the City of Kingston, Ellenville, Woodstock, Saugerty, Gardner, Accord, New Paltz, Rosendale, all represented. So, you know, there's big things going on all over the county. Revolving loans, FarmBridge, Organic Nectars, both got revolving loans last year from the county, as well as right now, this yoga studio, Yoga Vita, and our own Fruition Chocolate, which if you haven't tried, it was rated the best milk chocolate in the world. And they're from right here in Ulster County, and we're helping them to grow right now. I just wanted to mention broadband. I know Legislator Archer has a, you know, really wanting to help our businesses with broadband. We're doing a pilot project in Ellenville right now. Contracting with Evolving Media is getting kicked off, and so we think we're going to be able to bring Wi-Fi to downtown Ellenville, and if it works, it's something that could potentially be spread all over the county. So we're excited about that. And I'm zipping, third page.
Take your time. Slow down, catch your breath.
Education and training is something else that we are very proud of trying to, with our business counseling, we help one business at a time. You know, people call us and we help them. With the education events, we try to help all Ulster County businesses and nonprofits. And I was really surprised to see this number. In 2017, we held 14 events and we trained close to 800 people. So I was pretty proud of that. I think we did a networking event for the food and beverage industry. We did three film-related trainings. Two of them were to help Ulster County businesses to work in the film industry, so how they could be vendors, whether they're landscapers, engineers, architects, hairdressers, trying to get, you know, as many people as possible working in the film industry. And again, two well-attended grant writing workshops. So just to talk from, I want to talk about marketing, and then I'm just going to talk for 2 seconds about what we're planning for 2018. So for marketing, Ulster County contracts with the Ulster County Economic Development Alliance. Hector Rodriguez and Jim Maloney are on that board. Last year, we contracted with Luminary Publishing. We put together a whole new website, ulsterforbusiness.com. And right now, we're putting together ulsterforfilm.com. We also put together some publications, which Mary has to share with the members, and there's a few out on the desk outside for the public as well, if you're interested. An amazing economic development guide, which was Chairman Loney's idea to put together, and we worked really hard on it, as well as a publication for weekenders and second homeowners. We are wrap cards that we put in Mohonk Hotel and our other hotels to get people, you know, you like vacation in here, stay here year-round. And then another open for business brochure that is to help to get new businesses to come here. And so the website, the brochures, we did digital print and radio advertising, and we really targeted film as well as tech, niche manufacturing, and the second homeowners and weekenders. So I'm hopeful the Economic Development Alliance is meeting next on February 6th, and I'm hoping we can come up with the agenda to move forward for 2018 marketing. And the last thing I wanted to say, the IDA is doing a call for projects. So what happens is the IDA gets its funding from fees that it collects from businesses, and it doesn't have, it's not taxpayer money, it's fee money. They take this money every year and they help, they find ways to spend it to help small businesses. So last year they contracted with the Film Commission, with HBADC, which helps agriculture and our farmers, as well as a few other organizations that help our businesses. And so there's a call for projects right now, and the application's online, ulstercountyida.com. And if you want to tell any of your organizations if they're interested in applying to help other Ulster County businesses, the IDA has funding for that. And those applications are available until February 28th.
Very good. Any questions for Suzanne Holt?
Mr. Chair, do you want me to actually, considering that there are other resolutions that are on our agenda, do you want me to just wait until we actually are on those resolutions, or how do you want to handle that?
If you have any questions regarding the presentation that she's just given.
Okay. Some of that leads back to the resolution we have in front of us. That's why I'm asking.
So you know, stick around for a couple of minutes?
Sure. I'm happy to stay for your whole meeting.
All right. One thing, you mentioned the IDA, Suzanne. We do have several vacancies on the IDA, so I would like to just put it out to all the committee members. If they have interested parties or who they feel are qualified, please have them submit resumes to Mary Bikert. I'm going to say on the close of business by February 23rd. It's a Friday. So February 23rd at 5 o'clock, that'll give them more than close to 4 weeks to get it together. So, all right. Thank you, Suzanne. Very good job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to resolutions. Resolution number one, but resolution number seven, setting a public hearing on the sale and or transfer of three easements across county-owned property, being a portion of the former Ulster and Delaware Railroad bed property located in the city of Kingston to the Economic Development Alliance, UCEDA, a local development corporation.
Move.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Legislator Archer. Discussion? Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
So, hi. Hope you all can hear me now. So, Mr. Chair, as you know, this was pushed in the beginning of the year, and we wanted it held off to at least have the discussion. I don't know if the projects council is here, I guess, to talk with us or to basically talk about the project. Yes. Can we actually have it? Just can actually have them maybe present to us or at least discuss this with us before we vote on it? Okay. I guess which of you guys would like to take a lead first? Okay. We also have a microphone right here, since you are. Actually, if you want.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. So, I guess I'd like to start out by saying that this is a property, two separate parcels, which are owned by Ulster Savings Bank.
Yes.
There's a piece of property in between, which is owned by the county. and were before this committee, what we deem to be a relatively ministerial request to set a public hearing in connection with the transfer of an easement, crossing easement, and a related utility easement, which covers approximately 0.37 acres in total of the former Ulster and Delaware Railway in the city of Kingston to the Ulster County Economic Development Alliance. And that's really what their resolution is all about. Basically, the crossing would not in any way adversely impact the ability to operate a railroad car on the railroad tracks as it currently exists. It's not going to impede the ability of pedestrians or any other people to continue to utilize the area where the easement is being sought. And I guess basically that, in summary, it's already been determined by the City of Kingston Planning Board as the CEQA lead agency that the site will not impede railroad, pedestrian, or bicyclist motor movements along the county-owned Ulster and Delaware rail track.
I'm sorry, so your name for the record?
Frank Eck, General Counsel for Ulster City.
Thank you, Mr. Eck. Any questions for Mr. Eck?
That's a quick summary.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you know, we have with us former legislator Peter Lord. I don't know if you had any questions that you wanted to ask.
This is not Hector. Stick to the committee.
Okay. You're okay.
Hector.
Okay. I was discussing it with Mr. Lauren, please. So you're okay, Pete? All right. Mr. Chair, at this time, I would actually like to amend the resolution. As opposed to it going to the EDA, I'd like to move that it goes to the IDA.
I don't know how that would.
The IDA has at times, whether it's done for lease or for sale in previous times. Matter of fact, that's actually what happened with the railroad, as you may remember back in the day. The county turned it over to the IDA.
That day was 35 years ago.
Indeed, and I would have been five.
Perfectly honest with you, I don't even know if that's feasible in this situation.
It's still
okay, but
still
what we're doing is we're scheduling a public hearing.
Okay. I still move it.
If it's moved in second, is there any further discussion?
I'll second for conversation purposes.
Can
you explain why?
Sure.
So I have an understanding.
Well, the IDA is appointed by the legislature. The EDA is appointed by the executive. So I think it's actually something that
just for clarity, Hector, both you and I sit on the EDA.
Indeed.
Okay, I want everybody to understand that.
Indeed.
Okay. So, any other questions, Legislator Archer? Anything? Hearing none. There's been a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. This is on the amendment?
On the amendment.
Oh, no.
Okay. All those in favor of the amendment, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Aye.
Aye.
Oh, we say nay.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. On the resolution, schedule a public hearing. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No. Or nay. Whichever we want to.
No, I'm.
Resolution
I'm
passed.
Okay. I'm okay with that. I was just trying to.
Was it? Just for the record, so then you said yes? Or no?
I said yes.
Yes. You said yes.
Legislator DeLon, yes?
Yes. Hector was the only no.
So that passes 6-1. Yeah.
Gentlemen, we have a public hearing.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Resolution number 2, also known as resolution number 8, approving the deviation by the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency relating to the terms and conditions of a certain pilot agreement to be entered into between the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency and Landmark Preservation in connection with the Landmark Preservation LP project.
Move for discussion.
Move. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Legislator Archer. Discussion. We have a gentleman here from representing Landmark.
The mic. Where's the mic routine apparently?
if you can get the location, get a prize.
If you please identify yourself, sir, for the record.
Sure. I'm Donald Capolino, Capolino Rothschild, attorneys for Landmark Preservation. We're here tonight to discuss the consent resolution for the deviation from the uniform tax exemption policy that the IDA has in order to approve a pilot agreement for real estate taxes. A pilot agreement for real estate taxes that are, sorry folks, that's my fan club over there. For real estate taxes for the purposes of allowing this project to go through, it calls for the renovation of the Yasmin Towers and of the Governor Clinton facility, a stone's throw from where we are right now. The residents, a number of the residents are here tonight just to show their support for this particular resolution. We've gone to the City of Kingston and received unanimous support from the City of Kingston for the consent resolution. We received support of the City of Kingston School Board, unanimous minus one. There was one vote against. And so we come before you seeking your support of this. We're here to answer any questions you may have about it, but very simply, we think that there are some important things that the City of Kingston worked out with us and helped bring along this project to the point it is now. There's an increase in the pilot payments are actually, unlike most of the pilot agreements that you see and have to approve, or ask to approve, I should say. In this particular case, instead of the payment of $346,000 a year total for the two properties, we start out at $368,500, and it goes up 2% per year, compounded annually. The taxes for these particular properties are more than are usually paid per door on anything else in the area. The City of Kingston did ask for local construction hiring, and our clients have agreed to that, and the details of that will be in the documentation as finally passed by the IDA. The City of Kingston required $150,000 site improvement for ingress and egress at the Governor Clinton Hotel, allowing a significant improvement to the place. This involves $10 million of improvements to both facilities that are sorely needed. The people are here to tell you why, to show their support. I know they're not speaking tonight, Mr. Chairman, but they're here to show the support. We're saving a structure, but more importantly, we're improving the lives of the seniors in the city. So that's essentially what this project's about. And we're here to answer any questions. I think the assessor for the City of Kingston, Dan Baker, has been asked to attend, and so he can answer any technical questions you may have. And my clients are here. Brian Raddick and Francine Kelman are here as well. So if you have any questions, please.
Legislator Archer, for meeting with Kathleen or Mr. Baker.
Yes, thank you. You said you're modifying the application because right now I think there were a couple of sections where it said you weren't going to be using local, although it was added to a third
right.
section. So I just want to clarify that you will be resubmitting the IDA application to correct that, correct?
Yeah, what happened was that we submitted the application. After submitting the application, the City of Kingston asked for us to do that, and we agreed to do that. So in this process, we have committed to that local labor policy, and we will do that to the satisfaction of the City of Kingston. It's the City of Kingston area, which is more restrictive than the IDA policy, which asks that
we hire labor from Ulster County and the contiguous counties. So our focus will still be on trying to find responsive and responsible bidders in the city of Kingston area. And as you know, that some of them have to be licensed there, so that helps in our getting.
But just for clarification.
For clarification purposes, the answer is yes.
Yes. Okay,
simple.
Thanks.
Okay.
You have 196 units. Will every unit be touched in this project? So every unit will be upgraded, updated, all the appliances.
Right. I think there are more than 196.
Oh, that's what it said in the application.
196. I'm sorry. I missed. And will they all be?
Yes.
Yeah, so my clients are here, and they are saying yes.
So everything will be touched.
But it's a $10 million project.
Yeah. So there's some retail spaces in the building as well?
That's correct. Only in the Governor Clinton building. I believe there are nine retail spaces in the Governor Clinton building.
And what's happening with them, the nine retail spaces?
Are
they part of this project?
Yeah, they have to be.
Not part of the renovations.
They're not part of the renovations, but they're... But there have to be part of the IDA.
They're part of the building.
Of the building, of course.
But so are you? So you're going to get? Are you going to be getting a payment in lieu of taxes for the nine retail spaces as well?
Yes, we are. But the the payment in lieu of taxes that they're paying is there are only 92 units in Governor Clinton, and they're paying $187,000, and there are 104 units in Yasmin, and they're paying 181. So there's actually a higher payment coming from the building solely because of the commercial space. Okay, those are.
But you're not going to back them out of your payment in those taxes, and you'll not be paying those at full retail value or full tax value. And I don't know, maybe
Dan can address that perhaps. Yeah. He helped negotiate.
Dan, if you come up, please.
The IDA grants an exemption under real property tax law 412A, and that's a wholly exempt exemption. So that cannot be a partial exemption. So we did calculate for that. Payment was increased more than the Yasmin was because of those commercial properties. We definitely made note of that. We calculated that. So it was accounted for.
Hold up. Dan, hold on one second. Hector, you want? Wait a minute. Hector, then Herb, then Brian. Hector, go ahead, please.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Firstly, I'm actually really thrilled. Thank you for coming here. We wanted you to actually come and meet with the legislature for some time. As we all know, this resolution was almost pushed through last year without discussion and almost pushed through this year without discussion, and thankfully we are here to have a discussion. So, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, by the way, for standing strong on that front. It was really important, I think, that the committee process and this legislature be respected. Thank you.
Well,
we stood together on that, Mr. Chair. So, maybe you can explain to me, as opposed to going through the IDA, why is the applicant not going through 581A?
The the applicant was seeking to get all of the benefits that the IDA provided, and they worked through the various types of analyses. And what happened is 581A was not being used presently at the site, and they came through economic development, and they were directed this way. And that's really where we are at this point.
They were directed this way. Well, by whom?
Huh? Well, they came through. They were told that an application was the way to go here, and that's the way they did it.
Who told them that?
I would probably say Brian. Someone in the.
As you came through, can Brian give something to say?
For edification, yeah. 581A, why don't you explain what 581A is, which basically yeah. means that the city can actually go and create an abatement situation on its own
that's
without
right.
having to come through the IDA or through this legislature.
That's correct. That's correct. And that, but that particular process goes through, and there is a requirement in part of their other application that they get. They have a showing of local support, and this is part of it. That also they are getting subsidies from a lot of other entities. Those subsidies are not to be counted under 581A as part of the valuation. The assessments for these kinds of projects under 581A are not based upon sale price or what other people call fair market value. They're based upon the net operating income from the process, and in the net operating income, you don't include any of the subsidies. So, for example, the $10 million that subsidy that is being brought into this particular project for the improvements that are being made, that subsidy is not included at all, would not be permissibly included in the valuation of the project for that. What this does for them and for their financing is it fixes it for a period of years, and their lender requires 35 years of...
but they don't have to go through the IDA for this. They can go through the municipality for this. That's what it comes down to. In terms of, yes, are there additional quote-unquote benefits of going through an IDA? Sure, whether it's the sales tax abatement, whether it's the mortgage recording tax, you know, there's a myriad of other different little things in there. But at the end of the day, this project can still happen without the IDA. It's not as if somehow we have to go and take this step. The applicant can go to the municipality to go and work out a deal under the terms of 581A based off of its operating income, and then make whatever improvements then they have to go and make to the physical plan. At the end of the day, this comes back down to it's more advantageous for the applicant to go this route. And I still don't have an answer, by the way, is who told you to go this route from our end.
Hector, one thing just as a note so everyone understands, 581A was a law that was created 5-6 years ago for these types of properties, okay? Several properties that I have in the town of Ulster, 581. But Hector, just so you know, if 581A was introduced or they applied for it, the $3.2 million assessment that's currently on 1 Albany Avenue would probably go down. So the city and everyone would lose money.
But it's not just necessary for us to vote.
So, but if you want to argue how did we get here, we could ask that on any application.
We were basically told the answer is it's one-stop shopping. They came in, they had everything, and it was told that this. Pardon?
Who told you?
The applicant said that they came in to the people. They talked to economic development people and said, "Can we apply for this?" No, just understand. They had just finished a project up in Schenectady where they did the same thing, and so this is just like par for the course for them. They've done other projects, and these are the kinds of this is the way it is often done. I'm attorney for the Dutchess County Industrial Development Agency, and the city of Poughkeepsie came to the Dutchess County Industrial Development Agency and asked that the old King's Court Hotel, which was had gone beyond what this particular project had, thankfully, and they're coming in sooner. But that project was vacant, and it was blighted, and it was a real problem, and they found a developer that came in, was willing to do this, take the chances, and there was some Section 8 housing as part of it, and so the Dutchess County IDA provided the assistance for that. And so these are fairly common approaches, and they had just completed another project upstate that did the same thing.
To follow up on Legislator Archer's question, what would the commercial portion of the Governor Clinton be paying in taxes if it was at full value?
Well, full value, I mean, the problem right now,
commercial component.
I think we have to compare it to what's being paid now. The total amount
I asked the question about distinctly, sir, about what is it pay? What would it pay this commercial real estate if it was at full value? That was my question. And if the assessor or if the assessor still here?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I don't know if you have the answer handy.
So no, I don't have. We don't have an assessment on that portion. We don't have an assessment on someone's bedroom or someone's bathroom. These properties are looked at
the commercial
in totality, not on a not on a hypothetical and a snapshot in time. Right now, the property.
We can't hear you.
Sure.
Right now, the property is, if the pilot were to go through, the per door unit on the senior housing would be $1,700 per unit. Okay, that would be paid in, as a payment in lieu of taxes. Similar type properties, like Rupco Senior and Rosendale, pay $625 a unit. Birches and Saugerties pays $200 a unit. Birchwood Village in Kingston pays $475 a unit. Birches and Asokas pays $100 a unit. Mace Mill in Kingston currently pays $1,000 a unit. So the example of Yasmin and Governor Clinton on their on the residential units at $1,700 shows that, you know, this is outside the bounds of the Ulster County's uniform tax exempt policy. Right now it's between $425 a unit and $1,600 a unit. So it being a deviation, the city of Kingston was able to take advantage of that. We could come in, we could actually discuss it, and the applicant agreed to something more than the IDA could actually have put forward if they did not have a deviation. So it was beneficial.
And we should be clear, the only reason we're here is because it is a deviated pilot, that should just be noted, meaning it's 35 years, meaning beyond what we would normally approve.
It is a deviated pilot, correct, that's why we're here.
So we're up for this.
Are there any other questions for, yes, Legislator?
Hi, thank you very much.
I'm sorry, I'll let you go last. Go ahead, Ryan, I'm sorry.
Was an economic benefit study performed or prepared for this required of you to prepare, or unless one would prepare?
Yeah, there is an economic benefit study, and actually there is additional information is being provided on that as well. But there certainly was one, and it indicated that this is, you know, there is a significant benefit to the area.
For instance, what would one be?
Well, you know, there are a number of aspects to the economic benefit to this. Any dollars that are spent in an area typically are spent over again by retaining and by improving the area, and keeping the seniors here and having them have improved conditions. And have the ability to stay and spend their money, continue to spend their money, that's one. There is there's a serious need for this housing in the area. So because of the need and being able to address that need, these are economic development benefits. There's also $10 million that's being expended here with as much as possible being in local labor. So that money will get not only spent here, but spent over and over again, because the contractor then buys a lawnmower that he can now afford, and the lawnmower guy can go out to dinner, et cetera. So, that's the typical economic development analysis.
Any other questions, Legislator? Legislator Litz, I'm sorry.
What's the current tax burden on the properties now?
I can go by the assessed values on these. Actually, what I did was both properties together pay $346,015.04.
$346,015.04. And that's for both properties.
Right, and they're actually
at the current assessment.
At the current assessment, and that's actually split right in half.
Each one pays the same amount. And the new one will be $368,500, and that is split, having Governor Clinton paying $187,500 and Yasmin paying $181,000. Both of them significantly higher, but Governor Clinton paying more because of the commercial development as well.
So what you're telling me is that without this pilot, you'd be paying $346,000 a year, and with the pilot, you'd be paying an additional $20,000+ with the pilot per year.
That's right.
And it ramps up 2% each year.
2% compounded. I don't want to forget compounded.
Okay.
Any other questions? Legislator Maloney. Joseph.
Yes. Do you know why so many residents have told me that if this pilot isn't accepted, that they'll be displaced or lose rental subsidies? Have you or any employees that may stay on talked to any residents about that? Because it's confusing to me why so many people are saying that live in these buildings, that their very existence here relies upon this pilot going through. It's hard to believe that no one has put this forth.
First of all, I can't predict what's going to happen.
So are you admitting that has been put out there, that's a possibility if this pilot doesn't go through? You've told residents that they could be displaced?
Okay. I haven't spoken to any of them about that.
So I've had so many from both buildings tell me that their existence relies upon this pilot.
Let me just explain. Okay. The concern that's been expressed, has been that if the
expressed by who?
By the residents
to you
that I've heard at the public hearing.
Unsolicited.
Okay. Yeah. Not from me. They talk to me.
You have no knowledge. You have any employees that work there that perhaps have put this forth to the residents that may be staying on?
Let me just
Legislator Maloney, with all due respect, okay, I have heard these same rumors and everything. HUD will never let that happen.
That's my point.
HUD will never let it happen. So please.
That's my point.
Okay. And they know that.
Okay. Do the residents know that?
They absolutely do.
Look,
I don't know who you're talking to, but HUD will not let that happen.
I'm the legislator that's heard this from residents.
Of course.
Have you heard it from residents?
I hear it every day.
Okay, that's why I'm asking. And it seems that if it was going to originate anywhere, I think it's sensible to pose that question, we all know that this happens when these pilots come up, that things are said in order to drive it home. And it seems that's what might be happening here. I think it's a fair question. I'd just like to hear it that they haven't done this.
I would like to just tell you what the concern as expressed is. The concern is that my clients are purchasers of the project. If they don't get the support, they will not go forward with the project. They won't purchase the premises. That's what's going on. Now, if it's not purchased, they haven't purchased it yet.
Yep.
So if they don't purchase the premises, then whatever happens to the place happens. Whatever whether or not it stays the same and continues to deteriorate, whether they find somebody else who can come in and do it, who knows? But in the meantime, nothing's happened. This developer has come in and said, I have secured $10 million in low-income housing tax credits that I can use to upgrade their lives without having them pay a penny more in rent. That's what.
I want to know where all your legislators are.
Ma'am, please. Legislator Maloney.
Do you know of any talk when negotiating with 17.9 around the 18 million? Is that about what we're talking about here in the negotiated sale price, purchaser to buyer? Was there discussions about pilots, about this pilot while negotiating the price? that you guys came up with. I can't even imagine the negotiations of an $18 million sale. Were pilots talked about during those negotiations?
I don't know the
when answer. Coming up with a price.
Okay. As I addressed the full legislature in the beginning of January, I was called in on this particular matter.
Would anyone here know if that had happened? Was there ever a discussion about whether we get this pilot having anything to do with what we're willing to pay with pilot, without pilot? It's hard to believe that it wouldn't have been brought up.
How we finance and structure our deals, we never discussed that with the seller.
How could you not, with the difference of if you're gonna purchase something and put out? I mean, we're talking with the upgrades, we're talking about $30-40 million. How could you not discuss?
Because if
that was your plan, from the beginning to get a pilot, but what date can you say?
Yes, that was our plan, but we wouldn't discuss it.
But here's another issue I have.
Please, decorum. Let him answer the question.
Go ahead.
And sir, please, for the record, please state your name.
This is Brian Raddick. I'm the developer that's trying to purchase the property. We don't discuss that with the seller because, frankly, it's none of their business how we structure a deal to get to a closing. So we would never discuss that with the seller.
Okay, but you're telling us that if you don't get this pilot, the deal falls through.
Yes.
So you had to talk about the pilot before negotiating the deal, otherwise
not
it doesn't make any sense.
How would the seller? Why would we discuss with the seller?
Because you're talking about a price that makes sense. Think about what you're saying. If we don't give you the pilot, the deal falls through because it doesn't make sense.
If I go to purchase the house and I don't get a mortgage, the deal falls through. It's not necessarily the seller's concern. That's not their concern. If I get a pilot or not, it's not their concern.
But if this whole deal now, you're telling us, if we don't give you this 35-year pilot, this deal falls through. How can that be?
It's not the seller's concern. They have a contract with us.
No, I'm talking about the buyer now.
But remember, the reason we're here is that it's a 35-year pilot. The 35 years it's here because their financing people require it. So if they don't get a 35-year pilot, they don't get the financing. And if they don't get the financing, then they can't do the deal.
So
that's how we got.
So if you didn't come to the table talking or thinking about this pilot, at what point did you realize, wow, this deal, we're not going to be able to do this. It doesn't make financial sense unless we get this pilot. You know what I'm saying? How the timing...
Yeah, but I just don't see what the relevance is that.
The relevance
is seller. It has nothing to do with the seller whatsoever.
Well, I'm talking about the buyer now. When
right.
did the buyer say... You started negotiating. At which point did you realize you can't do this on your own without help?
Since day one.
So you went in knowing if we're going to do this, we need a pilot.
100%.
So... Okay, thank you.
What's the issue?
You're here before us. That's the issue.
Well, Legislator Maloney, just for your own edification, Governor Cuomo, I think 3 years ago, changed the private housing finance law. You can finance now for up to 40 years, just so you know.
I don't question that.
Any other questions?
I do. I actually just exactly what you're saying. And you're wrong.
Any other questions for Mr. Capilano? Hearing none, there's a motion and a second.
Call the question.
Call the question. Mary, call the roll, please.
Legislator Archer?
Yes.
Legislator DeLon?
No.
Legislator Litz?
Yes.
Legislator Mayo?
Yes.
Legislator Rodriguez?
No.
Legislator Waltman?
No.
Chairman Maloney?
This property, I'm not that familiar with the Yasmin Tower, but I know the Governor Clinton Hotel very, very well. I was probably the last restaurateur to be in that building back in 1981. The address of 1 Albany Avenue, it's an iconic building in this city. Am I happy about the 35 years? Not really. But I know the pilot payment is higher than the ad valorem taxes starting off, with a 2% increase for the next 35 years. The units will be renovated. And there are more than enough people out there that are going to come online to fill up this space and a lot of other housing. My vote is yes.
Resolution passes 4-3.
Moving right along.
setting a public hearing on a proposed local law number 3 of 2018, a local law amending the Ulster County Charter, local law number 2 of 2006, and amending the administrative code for the County of Ulster, local law number 10 of 08, to establish the Department of Economic Development, to be held on March 13th at 6:15 p.m.
I'll move it, Mr. Chair.
Moved. Is there a second?
Yes, second.
Legislator Litz. Any discussion? We're scheduling a public hearing. We're going to do it a lot faster than the last. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution number 24, establishing a policy to prohibit the use of taxpayer funds to place the likeness or name of elected officials on county signs and property.
Move for discussion.
Is there a second? Legislator Wallman. Lose your voice, Legislator?
No. Beg your pardon?
Did you lose your voice?
No.
Open for discussion. Anyone? I'll be honest, this is the first time I've seen this. Typically, I usually get a phone call when something like this is going to go on the agenda.
Jim?
Legislator Maloney?
I apologize. I talked to several people about it. 2 weeks into being a legislator, I won't make that mistake again. I should have reached out to you. This is something that's been adopted by executive order and by legislators and municipalities around the state. It just prohibits elected officials' names from being put on signage outside of their office and the normal type places. And PSA, public service announcements that we pay for with taxpayer dollars, will not be mentioning public elected officials' names. Dr. Carol Smith would still be telling us to get our flu shot, things like that, but it would be just elected officials. As I said, this has been implemented around the state, and I think it makes a lot of sense. I don't think it hinders any process. It does save money, and it won't cost us any money. No signs from here on that are already have an elected official's name would be taken down. It's all going forward. I do realize that I seem to have gotten more positive feedback on the PSA side of this, so I do have an amendment ready to go. If we weren't going to be able to get this through committee, if any legislators were more comfortable with just the PSA part, leaving the signage out, I would be comfortable amending it. I have it ready made.
I think I gave everybody else one. That's the amended version if we do end up amending. I do have okay. Oh, that's the full amended version?
Oh, great.
We actually had that here.
This
is what this is the executive order that they just put in.
Did you get the amendment? Oh, I have it here. This is enough. I don't need to work.
Did I get you? Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, at this time, I guess I will offer, since Mr. Maloney has offered an amendment, I will move it since he is the sponsor. Right, we can amend things in committee if we have the sponsor's support. So I'm going to move it. Leader Mayo wants a second.
I will second the amendment.
On the amendment.
Aye.
Legislator Maloney, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I would like for you to consider maybe postponing this for a month so everybody can get their head around it and fully understand exactly the ramifications, see what the ripple effect is going to be. I heard you quote Mr. Lattimore, Executive Lattimore. He was changing the signs when taking down Astorino, so it wasn't...
This
amended, to take all the Astorinos down. It wasn't like
this has no signage in it.
Okay.
No, this has no signage. This is just public service announcements, which I don't think I don't think there's a lot to really wrap our head around. It's just taxpayer dollars should not be spent on any advertisement that mentions an elected official's name. I think it's pretty straightforward. We all have heard radio ads. Some have elected officials' names, some don't. The County of Ulster can have us do things. It really is good government. It makes sense. And the longer we wait, the more counties are going to do it before we do. Several have already started to do this. I don't think this is what our forefathers had in mind. Taxpayer dollars going to public service announcements that just hammer home elected officials' names. That's what campaigns are for.
Any other questions for Legislator Joseph Maloney?
It's okay, we have two Lynns. It's all right.
Two what?
We have two Lynns in my caucus. Oh, okay. You have two Maloneys. And as you remember, Mr. Chair, 8 years ago, I think we had three Petes.
I'm wondering if there might be circumstances in which having an elected official on a PSA would enhance the power or the ability of that communication to connect with people. So this seems quite broad to me, and the original suggestion that it might benefit from some time to kind of reflect might, I certainly endorse that. And whether there might be some additional refinements of the language. I'm seeing this for the first time. It wasn't in the resolution packet that I received earlier. So I appreciate the extra time.
Oh, it's pretty sure it's in there. It's in there.
Not the amendment, but the...
Oh, not the amendment.
No.
The resolution was in the packet. The resolution and everything that's in there, and we just took all the signage out, which was... From the beginning, I looked at this as two resolutions. I was told by our council that it had been included in most of the other areas that had done this, and that they really did feel that it could be put into one. But I was prepared to break this in half like we've done, because I just think the PSA aspect of this is very straightforward. I just cannot in good faith spend my constituents. And I think if we polled the county, I think I'm fairly positive we'd be up in the 80s at the very least, that taxpayer dollars should not go to commercials that mention elected officials' names. I can point out a couple. Chris Christie spent millions on his way out the door recently to voice a commercials about the opioid epidemic, and I don't think there was any doubt that he was looking to go out the door and raise his own positive approval ratings. Mr. Cuomo has done that recently as well. People on both sides of the aisle. I just think that we can, I can't rack my brain to think why we think this would be acceptable. I know my constituents are behind it, and I think I'd be surprised if everyone's weren't. It just makes too much sense. That's how I feel about it.
Any other comments?
Just a question, if I may.
Yes,
you crossed out the signage. So, for example, on the side of a county truck, do we have a sign? We have the county emblem, right?
Yep. Not an elected official's name, but this does not have to do with signage anymore. We're only talking about average PSAs, public service announcements.
Okay.
So that kind of questionnaire is why I was prepared to pull it out, because that is something that takes time to wrap our head around and make sure our T's are crossed and we're not going to pass something that's then we're going to find out, oh my goodness.
Have an unintended consequence.
Yeah, the PSA aspect of this is just so much more straightforward.
What do you think?
I'm okay voting in tonight, but
all right.
That's me.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Is this the amendment?
Did the amendment pass?
Yes.
The amendment passed. You passed the amendment already.
Right. The nays, I'm a nay. I think we should postpone this. I think it needs to be looked at. I'll be perfectly honest with you, Joe. I spoke with the county executive today, and I think that's what this is aimed at. And we had a very nice discussion.
and we agreed that he'd sit down and take a lot of things down.
I spoke to Mike outside. Just the fact that he's talking about taking things down is kind of an admission, but
not an admission.
I just want to point something out.
The way this was written, we wouldn't even be able to put out our own guide with our photos in it.
That's not true.
I
spoke to Nick Pascali about that, and he assured me that everything that our name and pictures on would have stayed. If you go through what Westchester and Nassau just did and look at their guide and look at their website, everything stayed the same. I was adamant with Nick and with Vicky that this was really going to be reasonable, and they assured me that it was. And this was really just going to take down those things that elected officials' names really shouldn't be on. And for you to say that this is directed at anybody, a lot of these things we do because the executive is the executive, and he's got his hand everywhere because he's the executive, he's operations. I think it's going to be looked at as affecting him, but I think we've got to be careful not to talk about names, because none of us are going to be here in a couple of years. It'll be another exec and another exec and another exec, and that's why I think it's important to start setting these things. A lot of things, a lot of resolutions we put up protect us from things that aren't necessarily happening right now, but that doesn't mean that it won't happen in the future, and it's our responsibility to set policy, I think, that makes sense and protects the taxpayer, and I think this is one of those. And I can just tell you, Jim, that it does not have anything this was not specific in my intent. And that's the interesting part, is we have execs around the state right now putting these in executive orders. And I think wouldn't that have been nice if our executive had done this himself? But he hasn't, so it's up to the legislature.
What was the vote?
4-1.
6-1. Thank you. Moving on. Resolution number 34. Approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county and the Ulster County Development Agency Department of Planning.
Moved.
Second.
Seconded
by Legislator Waltman. Discussion. Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, we are being asked, I guess, to take in $52,500 from the IDA to give it to the EDA for their contract. Given the earlier resolution that we had such debate on, I had actually asked for information from the IDA also at the time in which the resolution was submitted without you being informed or me being informed or Mr. Ronk being informed. It took a very long time to get that information. When I asked for information regarding any communications from the IDA with regards to that particular project, I was told by Mr. Scott, I believe his name is, right?
Joe Scott,
that it would be provided to me on February 15th, even though they knew full well that the vote was taking place on January 8th. Thankfully, because of you, Mr. Chairman, and because of us working together, that, of course, was held off, and I was able to get that information in before this vote. So thank you again. Because of you, we were able to go and hold off on that. However, if that hadn't transpired, then I'd have been given the information after the fact, after we already voted on it. Now, that could be just people playing games. That's a different matter altogether. I am concerned because, unfortunately, I don't know if the Office of Economic Development Services can really serve two masters. It seems to serve, at one point, of course, the executive, as is appropriate, but by the same token, it also is theoretically supposed to be serving the IDA, and that has been coming into conflict. When I had called about this particular issue, there wasn't much information coming forward. As a matter of fact, the executive himself went and said, well, I can't really talk about this. This is the IDA. And it becomes a matter in which there becomes, actually, believe it or not, a conflict, I believe, within the roles of servicing the IDA and, of course, the Office of Economic Services. So at this time, Mr. Chair, I would actually move to postpone Resolution 34 until such time that we actually have a real discussion with the IDA. And I think maybe part of that is going to be about making more clearly defined roles. In addition, I think we probably want to have a conversation with the IDA about the projects that are coming forward. and how that sort of happens.
Hector, you're piling on a lot of different things onto one simple. This is
which is why that's been postponed.
Administrative funding for a process that's already moving. Okay. Yes, we are going to look at the IDA appointing new members. We're going to have interviews. We'll sit down. We'll have discussions. But now to try to postpone, you know, that'd be like, you know, try to get home and I take your car away from you. You know,
Mr. Chair, there's money in the office. Don't you know, we
Hector, we do this every year.
Sure. And if we hold off a month, it's not going to change anything, Mr. Chair.
Well, I'm not prepared to hold off.
Okay.
I would like to fund the department. We have projects in the pipe. The IDA is extremely busy. Okay. Is there any other discussion? Excuse me, Legislative Mayor.
I say call the question.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That was the motion.
Excuse me?
The motion on the floor was postponement.
I don't believe there was a second.
There was no second.
Yep. There was no
second.
I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear it.
You got it down. There was a motion on postponement, correct?
I have a motion, but I didn't hear Lynn. I only heard you.
Okay, well, you clearly have a second. So on the motion to postpone, Mr. Chair, do you want to call the vote on that?
Motion to postpone. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
Nay. 5-2 or 6-1? Lynn?
Excuse me?
5-2 or 6-1?
No, I was the no.
You're a no.
I'm a no.
Well, wait, okay.
No, on the postponement.
Yes, on postponement.
I'm a yes on postponement. Sorry, I'm confused now.
5-2.
I'm getting my feet wet. Give me a chance. Now on the resolution.
On the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed.
5-2. Resolution passes. Resolution number 6, or number resolution number 35. Approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by Ulster County and the Ulster County Economic Development Alliance Department of Planning.
Moved.
Is there a second?
Second
by Legislator Liz. Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So through the chair, I guess to Ms. Holt, what can you tell us about specifically about what you're going to be spending the $125,000 on?
So, as you know, Legislator Rodriguez, as a member of the Economic Development Alliance, that the board hasn't made a final decision yet about continuing with Luminary's contract, but my recommendation is to continue the contract with Luminary to market Ulster County. We may contract with them for $100,000, or we may pull some of that off and try to find a creative writer to contract with, because I think that we need a different writing skills than Luminary is bringing to the table right now, but that's a decision for the EDA board. And then there will be some money available for the education and training for venues and other expenses that go with the education and training components.
So there's nothing specific that you're spending this money on?
To contract with a marketing agency and or a creative writer to market Ulster, to continue to market Ulster County.
So what areas, I guess, are you going to be marketing in?
As far as, you talking about like New York City or places, or what do you mean by areas?
Well, you wouldn't say doing marketing for the County of Ulster. Well, what does that mean? Meaning, is it by industry? Is it by location?
So what I would recommend, but again, the Economic Development Alliance needs to approve this, but what I would recommend is to stick with the clusters that we were marketing to in the past, which include tech, which include niche manufacturing, which include film, and which includes second homeowners and weekenders and people who are visiting here. So those are the four clusters that I would recommend that we continue to market to. And I think that we should continue to market primarily to New York City, because that's where the majority of, that's where we get the biggest bang from our buck.
So, wait for the chair. Oh, I'm working. I don't mind letting another member speak. I've got other questions, but
no. Legislator Rodriguez.
Okay. So, all right. So, right now it's generic clusters, right? We don't have something specific or targeted in terms of this money, right? It's clusters. It may be a grant writer. I apologize. Apparently, I thought the thing was on. It's clusters. It's generically, although not any kind of specific projects in mind. It's maybe a grant writer.
I have a few specific projects in mind.
So we approved this amount, same amount previously last year, right?
No, last year's was more.
How much was last year's? 175?
Yes.
Okay. So it's 50,000 less. All right. And what was it spent on last year, the 175?
So the whole 175 wasn't spent, which is why it's going back to 125. There was additional funding initially put in for a film video that we were able to do within the 125, and we initially thought we were going to need more money for that. So the way it was spent last year, primarily with Luminary. Luminary subcontracted. We did some advertising with WDST. We did a lot of social media advertising. We have a brand new Ulster for Business website. We have the three publications, which I have with me. We have radio, print, digital advertising, as well as the website, and that's I feel like I'm missing something, but that's primarily it.
So of the 175, how much of that was spent last year?
I don't have the budget with me exactly, but it
approximately
was, I would say between 100 and 125,000.
So you were happy with how that money was spent?
For the most part. I think that I would have preferred, we had some creative writing issues that I would have preferred that we could have addressed in a different way. And since we're not able to, I think we need to come up with a better way to address those issues. But yeah, I think we have a great foundation. I think the website is beautiful. I think the publications are something to be proud of. I think the DST advertising really worked. With the Chronogram, Upstater, we got a great value actually from Luminary because they were our marketing agency. They gave us a great price on their publications and advertising in their publications. And I think we got beautiful ads. So I'm proud of what we did last year.
How many leads were generated?
Because as a member of the Economic Development Alliance, the leads was a problem. It took us a while to come up with a method that was actually generating positive leads. So to begin with, I believe there were 30 to 40 leads, but they were not very useful. They didn't amount to anything. So it took us, think about this. It's the first year working with Luminary. It took us time to put the website together. Then the initial goal was that the website was going to generate leads. And so if you look at the website, and we were going to set it up in the library, but because you moved in here, we weren't able to get it done in a quick enough way. But I invite you all, look at ulsterforbusiness.com. You'll see that it's set up by cluster. And so the way we did the social media is we directed the different social media pieces directed to different pages, and we could tell who came from where. So I believe it was between 30 and 40 leads were generated, but they were not good leads. They weren't anybody who ended up coming to Ulster County. So we pivoted, and we said, okay, what's a way to get good leads? And so it was a matter of Luminary basically doing cold calls. And towards the end of the year, they were able to come up with about 10 very good leads that we ended up at the end of the day with. And I was very happy with that. We're talking $100,000. We're not talking major money. I mean, to talk to 10 businesses that would consider coming to Ulster County, I think that's, and all the foundation work that we did to lead up to that. Excuse me?
It depends on the 10, but yes.
Are the 10 current clients of their print medium?
Not that I know of, no. No, they're businesses in New York City. One was a farming business, urban farming business. One was a manufacturing of Lucite bathroom, high-end Lucite bathroom products. The legislative Rodriguez thought this was funny, but one of them was popsicles, high-end popsicles. I'm proud of Bread Alone. I'm proud of a lot of our small niche food manufacturers, and I think having a popsicle manufacturer come here would be great. So they were small niche manufacturers and small businesses that are all outgrowing their space in New York City and are looking to expand.
Okay.
Legislator Maloney.
We talked a couple of times last week. I had asked you if I could get some information for you that originally you thought you could get me, and then the next time we spoke, you weren't able to get that information. It was number of applicants, accepted applications, number of years involved with the accepted applications, monetary value and tax exemptions to those applications, and the types of businesses they were.
I believe what I said is that I thought all this information was on
you. You said, I'll give you a link if you have trouble. My issue is not that, well, I do have an issue. I feel like that's information I should have been able to receive from you. I really think that's information that should be in front of the IDA as they're making these decisions. Banks that are giving out loans are diversifying. They're looking at their portfolio. They're making sure one pilot, I mean, we have a pilot going in and it looks like it might be accepted in Saugerties, and it's really rough. I mean, I'll sit down with you and go walk through the application with you, but it's quite alarming. And when you're talking about taking money and advertising, how can you even make that decision on advertisement success without looking at these kinds of basic things that the private sector would most certainly be looking at and have that information on hand? I'm really alarmed. Can you tell me over the last year, 2 years, 3 years, how much total monetary value in tax exemptions we've given? Do we have those numbers? I mean, these are numbers, pretty basic numbers that we should, the IDA members should be looking at every time they're interviewing or looking over an application. And these are, I mean, when I say they seem fairly basic, I think they are. And I couldn't, and all you could give me was a link to a New York State website where I could go there and try to search this stuff myself. I'm really alarmed with the IDA. And as I print out these applications and go through them page by page, and I see a $5.5 million to a group that gave almost no information, and they still hadn't, according to the application, still hadn't even told us how they were getting the funding. And they just said, no, we don't know. They just said it was private funding, $5.5 million. They don't know where they're getting accepted application. This is crazy.
Okay, so I'm not 100% sure what the specific question is, but I will
tell you. You told us you were very the advertising you've been doing, obviously you stand by the pilots that have been given out, and I'm saying, how do you stand by the money we spent on advertising, and how do you stand by the success or these pilots that have been granted when I'm telling you that you couldn't even, if we're not using information that the private sector would be using, we don't have basic information, how do we know how we're doing? Like, why would we feel comfortable giving you more money?
So
taxpayer money.
I guess what I would answer that question when I think about the IDA, which I think about is different because it's a whole separate organization. But when I think about the IDA, I think it's incentivizing growth and it's incentivizing development. And the developers only get those funds if they do the work that they were going to do and if the property increases in value. The only deviated pilots that have been done recently were the only one I can think of is UPAC. And so it was a very special project. For the most part, the pilots have been under the standard. Ulster County has objective criteria for the pilots that are granted. And so unlike a lot of other counties, you know, I do think that this IDA should be proud that the criteria is objective. So you look at a matrix of questions before you decide how much they're entitled to. You look at how many jobs they're creating, how many jobs they're retaining, are they building in a brownfield, are they close to public transportation. There's a list of questions and they get points, and then depending on the points that they get, depends on the value of there's two different 10 years and then there's a 15-year pilot, so it depends on the length of the pilot. But as far as the value that you're talking about, you know, we're talking about a payment in lieu of taxes. It doesn't ever, unless it's deviated, it doesn't affect the baseline taxes. So it's always only, the pilot is only on the improvements. So it's basically saying to the developer, you know, we appreciate that you're developing this land, because if it's just stayed the way it was, the taxes, there wouldn't be that jump. And so the jump goes from the baseline to whatever, instead of going in the first year.
That's the same theory that Al Ford used to go and throw at us back in the day when the IDA used to approve every damn project that came in front of us. I mean, at the end of the day, we have to be discerning about what projects we want to get involved with.
So you're right, but that's why there's objective criteria. You
but I'm telling you, I'm looking at applications that I'll have to sit down with.
All right, everybody, can we, Joe, we've got an agenda with resolutions. This sounds like you would like to set up an appointment again with Suzanne and have this discussion, or if you'd like, I can sit in with you. I mean, I'd be more than happy to.
Sure.
But the hotel and Saugerties, okay, just so, I mean, you fully understand, the only thing...
Go ahead.
Do you know that the fire district would probably pick up $6, $7 million in AV, or the water or sewer district? They're not exempt from the pilot. So keep that in the back of the mind.
Well, hotels, I don't think, are what pilots... in the original creation of the IDA, I don't think we had hotels in mind. How we got there is kind of murky, I think. But if a hotel is going to... Look, that's not... Like we said, we're talking about the thing. I don't know how you're coming up with success without basic facts like I'm talking about. I think if we sat down with somebody, if anybody in the private sector that was making decisions like this, they'd be pretty alarmed at those kinds of numbers not being looked at, not knowing your portfolio. We have to look at this like a portfolio. We have to diversify. That you can't, you don't have a list at the ready of how many hotels and how many, and in that area, are there any pilots that one pilot success is predicated upon another? So if you lose one, you lose them both. This, look, we have to start having these conversations. I'll make an appointment.
Regarding the piece of the resolution at hand, one of the things that I've always, if tourism comes to us and says we want to spend $50,000 or $56,000 on marketing, they come to the table with a plan around what they're going to do with the $56,000. I've always had an issue, as you know, in my previous life, about just putting marketing dollars over without ever getting a presentation of here's the marketing plan, here's how we're going to use the marketing dollars, and here's what successes we've had and what's attached to what we spent last year. We get a great overview, and I appreciate that as a, you know, being here and not having had a chance to sit down with you before the meeting of understanding some of the things you went with. But again, it's only $125,000, but it's $125,000 that I'd like to know how we're spending it in the way of marketing and the value that it is either creating or not, and if it's still experimental, we're still evolving, understanding that, because it's pretty much a carte blanche pass-through to the UCEDA to spend it however they want. And I'd like a little more understanding of how it's going to be spent. So
Kirby and then Hector.
Isn't hiring this marketing company much similar to hiring a consultant whereby you study the issue, you look at the alternates and pick the best? Or, I mean, if we're going to spoon-feed these people exactly what we need, I don't know, do we need them? They are consultants that are going to come up with ideas to market this county. If we already had those ideas, we just do them. I mean, when we hire these people, you're going to put your head together with them and come up with the best possible marketing solutions and who to market to. I mean, if we knew all of that up front, why would we hire a marketing company to do that for us?
I don't think that's what they're doing. Do you know that?
Well, nobody let her finish talking, so everybody has a lot to say. The question's getting answered, not answered.
No, I don't think so.
Well, I think so. I think people are being rude tonight, and it's not nice.
Hey, there's a lot of money on the line.
Exactly, but you asked her a question, and she didn't finish.
There's a lot of people tired of watching Washington, D.C. not have honest conversations. So if we're going to have an honest conversation,
actually, but let her finish. That's all I'm saying is let her finish. Both of you interrupted her. So if she would have finished, maybe some of the question would have got answered. And if it didn't, then you address it when she's done speaking.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the earlier points addressed, we do not have a contract yet in place. Correct?
Preliminary, no, we don't. But I can tell you, we're going to market those clusters. We're going to market in New York City. We're going to do digital marketing, social media. The foundation has been laid for what we're going to do this year, and whether we do it with Luminary or we do it in a different way. Assuming this funding is available, this is how I expect that we're going to be spending it.
Okay, but just to the point that, let's say, Archer raised in terms of, sorry, can you?
We can all hear you.
No, well, it's not that. It's actually for the tape recorder. Sorry. So it comes back down to those, to let's say, Archer's point of, you know, we're not even in a position right now to sort of offer up what the marketing plan is, because there's not even, the marketing consultant hasn't even been hired yet.
Legislator Nolan.
Thank you. I have a mic.
So my understanding is that we won't be able to hire a marketing consultant until there's a budget to hire a marketing consultant. And my understanding is that more than $100,000 of the $125,000 requested would be paid to hire a marketing firm, previously Luminary, perhaps Luminary again, perhaps another marketing firm, and that that firm would contribute in the way that Legislator Litz indicated. So, I also want to thank Legislator Mao for asking for more courtesy to the people who are speaking with us.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I'll just say one more quick thing, that I think we should be a little more cognizant of the types of businesses we're giving these pilots to and who we're marketing to. It's not just about numbers. I heard you say the number of businesses a lot. This was meant for manufacturing, for industrial, for game changers. This was meant to level the playing field with other states. This was not to run around and find every business that we can possibly give some kind of taxpayer-based incentive to come here. And I'd love to know how many of these businesses would not be doing business here if it wasn't for these pilots. I think we got to really, you have to keep that in mind. And I just didn't hear a lot of that. And if I was rude in any way, I apologize. If I cut you off, I apologize.
Any other questions? On the resolution, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Two nays, 5-2.
Very good.
Thank you. Resolution number 36, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county and A. Calaruso and Son, Department of Planning.
Second.
Motion and second. Any conversation? Any discussion? Chris, any comments?
I just want to say this bid came in $120,000 under budget.
Chris, you're the best. I heard.
Don't count your chickens. We may have some order on contracts.
We hope to break ground March 1st.
Nice.
Okay. For the new members, Brian, and this is the phase 4 of the Hudson Valley Rail Trail that runs from New Paltz Road to South Street. There's another phase that's about to commence in the town of Lloyd, which is phase 3. And these two projects together bring that rail trail to 5.5 miles. And then the New York State DOT is committed to connect that to the Walkdale Valley Rail Trail in New Paltz. And this is all part of the future Empire State Rail Trail.
And that will link with the walkway across the Hudson.
Exactly. And it will go all the way to New York City and all the way to the Canadian border once the Empire State Trail is finished. So thank you for the support on this trail. It's been going amazingly well.
Thank you.
This is the easy portion of the meeting.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried unanimously. Resolution number 38, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 issued by the county. And Found Design LLC, Department
Move.
Of Planning. Move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Legislator Rodriguez.
No. Archer.
Archer. And Legislator Mayo, the motion. Chris?
This is a wayfinding study for the city of Kingston for $63,500. It's 100% federally funded. The funding comes through the Ulster County Transportation Council. And we've worked very closely with the city of Kingston and the mayor to design this. And some of the outtake of this study actually can be used for signage that will be paid for by the DRI award, which is that Downtown Revitalization Initiative money, the $10 million that the city receives. So it's a one-year project, and it's in absolute coordination with the city of Kingston.
Okay. Very good. Motion and second. Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you. Just for absolute clarity, because it says wayfinding, is this the signs with the arrow on it saying this way to the trail? I understand I'm maybe being a bit glib, but ultimately, that's sort of like what we're talking about here.
We cannot confirm nor deny.
Here at this time, I'd like to use our subpoena powers as a legislature to compel the witness to comply.
I don't recall Legislator Rodriguez.
I'd like to hold in contempt. We will put him in the brig in the basement.
I don't know whether we have a brig, but
we're building one.
That might be very suitable by auction.
I'm
going to
fill the guillotine.
On the resolution, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously. Authorizing bid number 43. Moving on to number 44. Authorizing the Elster County Executive to execute contract with the New York State Housing Trust Fund Corporation, represented by the Office of Community Renewal, for federal funding for the implementation of community development block grants, amending the 2018 Ulster County budget. Moved. Is there a second?
You gonna fifth it?
Second?
Second.
Second, Legislator DeLaunt and Liz. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution number 45, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a grant of agreement with the Office of State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation for the Ashokan Rail Trail Project.
I'll move it.
Move. Second by Legislator Mayo and Archer. Any discussion? Anything? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously. Resolution number 46, amending the capital project number 459, Ashokan Rail Trail Project, to include cost for a due diligence study of a project labor agreement for trail construction. Department of Planning. Chris?
This is a capital project amendment to allow us to spend up to $25,000 to do a due diligence study under your PLA policy. We expect that you had a policy in place for projects over $1 million. You amended that in December to be projects over $5 million and more than three contractors. We expect that to be the case for the Ashokan Rail Trail. So we've gotten we're in the process of getting three proposals for this. We would hope to do the study in the next 60 days, and then we come back to the legislature with a recommendation, and you will make the determination on whether or not we use a PLA on this project. And basically, what the study looks at is, can we save money by doing it as a project labor agreement, for instance, on certain allowances that are given on prevailing wage. So it gives you a pre-bid manner in which you can drive down some of the costs that normally are involved with prevailing wage projects. So we don't know the answer. This is asking the question and asking for data.
Very good. Any discussion?
And we'll be using the DEP funding for this part of it.
Is there a motion?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Any old business? Anyone? Hearing none. Legislator Litz.
Motion for adjournment, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All those in favor. We're adjourned. Thank you, everyone.